Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Let Go, Let God Ministries with Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Wayne Anders. You will be blessed with the anointed preaching of these humble servants of God who have a word from the Lord for you today. God bless you as you listen.
Good morning to everyone all across this great universe under the sound of my voice. I'm so glad that you have tuned in to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. I hope that you've taken the time to invite family and friends to join you. My name is Reverend Sherry Thompson, and it's another beautiful fall day in the Carolinas. Buckle up your seatbelts. We're about to take a bumpy ride. Nevertheless, the truth will set the captive free. Don't you touch that mouse. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for a beautiful day here in North Carolina and all over this world. I thank you, God, that you're going to anoint your word and that it's going to be powerful like a two-edged sword that cuts away everything that is not of you, Lord, in our lives today. And God, that it brings our life in order and in line with your word so that we, while we're here on this earthly journey, can be pleasing before you, finish the race, complete the race, and receive the prize, and hear the voice of God say, "Well done, my faithful child, come on in." That's what we aim for every day as we walk out our faith. So, Father, I ask you to help us save those who are lost today, those who have been playing church, those who have slipped away, God. You have the power and the authority to save them, to set them free, to turn them around, to put them back on track, and make a brand new life for them. Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor for that. And Father, I thank you that you're touching our nation and you're touching Israel and you're surrounding our nation and surrounding Israel with total protection and supplying every need that we would have in order to complete our journey here on this earth. Father, I ask you in the holy name of Jesus that every plan that the enemy would have, we call that right now, here today, null and void in the holy name of Jesus, that we will complete everything that you have deposited on the inside of us, that you are truly the author and the finisher of our faith, O God. Thank you, Father, that you set the captive free, that you save the lost, that you turn the backslider around and put them back on track, that you help those who are cardinal-minded Christians. You help the baby Christian. You help every single person that calls out to you and wants a true relationship with you, Father. Today is the day of salvation, for you have not promised us tomorrow, that we give you all the glory for everything that you're going to do for us on this beautiful day, and that you're going to bring forth this message into our hearts so that it's not just mental assent, but it becomes illuminated in our hearts and minds and becomes divine revelation. Father, thank you for everything you're going to do today. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' precious holy name. And everybody and all God's people said, amen and amen. Good morning. I am so glad to be with you. Our text is coming from 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. And the message title is God Commands Believers to Abstain from Sexual Immorality. Well, the first verse that we're going to go to this morning is 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." Now, there are not many things from which the Bible tells us to abstain from, but the word itself is used only 7 times in the New Testament, 3 times in the book of Acts, and I believe once in Timothy and once in 1 Peter. Now, the other two times are found in 1 Thessalonians. Whenever we see the word abstain in the Bible, we know two things for certain. Number one, it is to command. It is the command of God. And number two, it is an absolute prohibition. Now, God commands believers to abstain from sexual immorality. Now, whenever we find a command to abstain in the Bible, we ought to take it very seriously. We have come to one such command in our text. It is so simple and clear. There can be no debate about it. Now, God commands believers to abstain from sexual immorality, period. End of story. Now, that might sound very hard, but it is absolute truth. Now, we may debate the proper application, but the command itself is crystal clear. Now, as one ponders these words, several things strike the mind. First, this is so obvious that we wonder why Paul mentions it. Second, this is not a popular doctrine. You will hear many more sermons on the love of God than on the dangers of sexual immorality. Such sermons are not easy to preach, nor are they easy to hear. However, they are the truth, and the truth sets the captive free. Now, have you ever asked yourself, why don't we blush anymore? Our greatest danger may simply be that we do not take these words seriously. Either we think we've heard all of this before, or we'd rather not hear it at all, or perhaps we think these words are meant for someone else. But I submit that no message is more needed in this evangelical church society today. Billy Graham commented that we routinely laugh at things that used to make us blush a generation ago. That's true even inside the church. Now, come to think of it, whatever happened to blushing anyway? It's almost disappeared, right? We have seen so much. And we have heard so much, and we have experienced so much that nothing seems to surprise us anymore. Now, the sexual revolution has liberated us from the old standards, and with the changing times, blushing has almost vanished. This is not a good thing, but it is the way things are in today's society. People accept good as evil and say evil is good. We are truly being deceived, my friends. So I'm asking you this morning to open your ears and your heart and intently listen to the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, we need to face the facts honestly. Fact one, hardcore pornography has come out of the closet and onto the main street. Now, in the old days, not that many years ago, you had to go to a local convenience store where you could find it under the counter. Today, pornography comes into our homes through TV, through music, and through our computers and cell phones. Fact two, through the internet, the vilest forms of pornography are now available to young children. We've seen it all, we've done it all, we've heard it all, until nothing affects us or makes us feel guilty or ashamed or even blush anymore. And fact number three, homosexuality is now seen as an acceptable lifestyle in society. The Bible says that it's an abomination to God, yet society is acceptable of it. Now, fact number four, most mainline denominations now have openly gay clergy, but just because people say it's okay doesn't mean it is. Fact number five, our flesh accepts anything and says it's okay, but it does not make it okay or right in God's eyes. And fact number six, we routinely see things on television that would have shocked us 25 years ago, but not today. Isn't that sad? Nothing surprises and nothing shocks us, and almost nothing shames us or makes us blush anymore. And fact number seven, nothing much surprises us anymore that we have seen it all and seen it so often that we've lost the ability to be shocked anymore. Adultery, premarital sex, group sex, wife swapping, transgender celebrities, and transgender pastors, X-rated movies on TV, sexting, hookup apps, easy divorce, multiple marriages, incest, child porn, bestiality, polyamory, gay churches, born-again pornographers, racial sex education, all of these things. Society says it's okay. Well, sorry to be the one to tell you, but you're deceiving yourself. God is holy, and he requires his children to be set apart and to be holy, for we are the images of Christ. Now, lest are accepted as truth and truth accepted as lies. Yes, lies are accepted as truth in these days, and truth is accepted as lies. Now, this today is today's society, and so shall it be before God returns for the church, his bride. Stop being fools. Stop being fools. Judgment day is coming, my friends. What has happened to America? When did we lose our collective sense of modesty? Somewhere in the last generation, more mortality died. Immorality died, public opinion eroded, and the law therefore is no longer interferes. Now, with that as a background, we turn to our next text. Number one, two words we need to understand. There are two words that we need clearly and vividly to understand. The first word is to abstain, which means to hold off from, to distance oneself from, to have nothing to do with. You abstain from something when you separate yourself from it completely. Imagine a vast pit containing all evils. I just mentioned that, right? Well, that pit seeks and bubbles with every sort of foul sexual sin and every form of sexual perversion. Now, it is deep and it is dangerous. To abstain means that you don't dabble in that pit. You don't dip your toe in the pit. And you don't stand on the edge and take pictures of the pit. Now, when you see the pit of sexual sin, abstaining, my friends, means that you get as far from it as you possibly can. You don't dip the toe in the pit. You don't go near it, lest it suck you in and overtake you and lead you to self-destruction. Second, the phrase sexual immorality comes from the Greek word porneia. This is a very broad word encompassing every kind of sexual activity outside of the marriage between one man and one woman. It covers sins of the mind, of the body, of your eyes, your ears, and your lips. It concludes premarital sex, extramarital sex, and every form of homosexuality, adultery, and every form of pornography. Now, Paul is telling us that Christians must abstain from a pornographic lifestyle in the broadest sense of this word. Now, this means there can be no moderate immorality and no social adultery and no victimless pornography. We are not to dabble in sex sin in any of its various forms. Now, we are to have nothing to do with it. Why have we forgotten who we are? That we are godly examples of holiness if we are Christians. Sexual perversion is not holy. In fact, it is totally the opposite of. Please note that Paul doesn't spell out every detail of sexual immorality. He doesn't have to because the particular expressions of sin will change depending on the time and place or the culture factors. Now, command stands. The application.
changes. In a world of impurity, Christians are to be different, to be set apart. That's what the word sanctification means. A sanctified person is a Christian whose life is distinctively different because it is set apart for God. In most of society today, you cannot tell who is the Christian and who is the sinner. They are all blending together. Now, one writer put it this way: in America today, the most racial thing a person can do is to be the husband of one wife or the wife of one husband. Now, here's two commands that we must obey, found in verses of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 6. Give us two commands, that one positive and one negative. Now, we must take each one to heart if we are going to be clean in a very dirty world. The devil paints sin as lovely, pretty, beautiful, glamorous, acceptable, exciting. But we forget that judgment day is coming. It won't be so pretty on that day when you stand before God and he says, "You did it your way. You did it your way. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Believe me, my friends, I'm sorry that I have to be the one that brings you the truth today, but the truth will set you free. And that is what I'm here to do, to help people to be set free, to be delivered, to be saved, their life to be changed, come out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. Now, we as Christians must control our own body. Yes, we must control our own body. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, it says, "Each of you should learn to control his own body in the way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God." Verses 4 literally commands each man to possess his own vessel. That might be a reference to his own wife, since in 1 Peter 3 and 7, it refers to the wife as the weaker vessel. However, my friends, in this context, it almost certainly means his own body. To possess is to control in sense of mastering the inner impulse to sin, abstaining from sin, period. I recently read an article about a pastor who was speaking to an audience with a larger number of teenagers. They were wonderful young people who loved the Lord with all of their heart, and they have all the normal desires that teenagers do everywhere. He told them not to be ashamed of their sexual urges that they felt. Those urges are put there by God himself. The desire to know and to love another person and to express yourself physically is not wrong. Hold on, I'm taking you somewhere. And you don't need to be ashamed of your feelings, is what he's saying to them. It's part of being male and female, made in God's image. Your body is good. Your hormones are good. And your urge for intimacy is absolutely good. Your sex drive is good and not evil. It's what you do. This is the important thing. It is what you do with those urges that matters. The world tells you to indulge yourself, to go for the gusto, to throw off all restraint, and to follow your feelings. The desire to express yourself sexually is not evil, but it is a fire that burns within you. Think of it this way, my friends. Fire in the fireplace is very good. Warmth, and it fills the room. Fire in a living room is dangerous, seeing the whole house to burn down. A God-empowered man controls his own body, and a God-empowered woman controls her own body. But when God is not in control, the body controls the man or the woman. This leads to self-destruction. Now let's talk about the deep pit. Paul plans his meaning in this verse 5 in 1 Thessalonians. holy in the world today, my friends. Men and women do not know God and therefore indulge in their worst impulses. They have no restraint and anything goes. They have no shame, no guilt. Why? Because they don't know God. Their heart is dark. They are not in the light. That is why it's your job and my job to lead those out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Now, when men turn away from God, anything is possible. Anything. When people turn away from God, anything is possible. No one knows how deep we can go when we do not know God, my friends. There is no limit, no end. There are depths of shame and pollution, cesspools of life that people live in for years because they do not know God. Because there is no check in their spirit. There is no check in their desires. Their flesh is running wide open. They commit unspeakable sin, which causes a seared conscience. They have no shame, no guilt. Sin becomes an open door of sexual immorality. Anything goes when you're in sin. But it doesn't mean that it's right, and it's certainly not of God. But when we know God, and that makes all the difference, my precious friends, sin will disgust you. Did you hear what I said? When you know Almighty God, sin will disgust you. And let me tell you this, you will not be able to listen to profanity. It will literally disgust you. Believe me, I know. I've experienced that. And I cannot stand it. My spirit wants to be pure and clean. But someone who does not know God, it is nothing to them. Absolutely nothing. When we don't cheat another person, now listen to this. In 1 Thessalonians verse 6, in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The King James Version uses the word defraud. Other translations use the word like exploit or cheat. Don't take from another man or woman what is not yours to take. The meaning may be made clear by a few examples. Don't cheat your brother by sleeping with his wife, and don't cheat your wife by dreaming of other women. Don't cheat your boyfriend or your girlfriend by leading them on, and don't cheat your future husband or wife by giving away your purity. Your purity is a gift from God, a gift made to give to one woman and one man that are soulmates, that are married, that are deeply in love. It's not to be exploited to every Tom and Harry and to every Jane and Susie. You see what I'm saying? It is a special gift given from God. Don't cheat your friends by playing the hypocrite. Don't profess Christianity and act like the world. Don't cheat your family by sneaking away behind their backs. Don't cheat your future spouse. And immorality is like that. It always cheats someone else, usually someone that you love very much or that is very close to you. Just ask any wife whose husband has left her. Just ask any parent whose child has had an open affair. Just ask any church member who has saw their pastor fall into sexual sin. Perhaps the saddest thing about lust is that it never satisfies. Someone has said that lust is a craving for salt by a man dying of thirst. It promises everything and it drives and delivers nothing. No lasting satisfaction, not even any swift punishment. You always have to go back for more. It's the law of diminishing returns. Lust forces you to keep going back to the sin. And number three facts God wants you to know. I hope you're taking really good notes today, because this is an awesome, powerful, free message. Our text closes with three reasons why this command is so very important. Each one applies directly to us. Number one, God will punish those who practice immorality. Satan blinds people to that fact, my friends. He doesn't want you to know Judgment Day is coming. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you can choose to do anything you want to, but Judgment Day is coming. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And in 1 Thessalonians verse 6, it says, the Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you about, my friends. Let me tell you the most terrifying thing that I know about God's judgment. Sometimes we read verses like this and think God will send down lightning from heaven. Well, he certainly can do that. That might happen. But more often, God's judgment is simply to do nothing to stop men and women on their headlong rush to destruction. It's as if there is a high cliff with jagged rocks far below. Near the edge are signs warning drivers of the danger. Because of frequent accidents, there are flashing lights and warning sirens. So imagine someone so drunk with pleasure and self-satisfaction that instead of turning back, when he sees the cliff, he hits the gas instead, ignoring all the warnings. This is for somebody this morning. I believe it. He plunges over the cliff, going 125 miles an hour, hurtling to his own death, taking his passengers with him. Sometimes, my friend, God punishes the body. Sometimes he punishes the mind. Sometimes he punishes our speech, our eyes, often our health, and almost always memories. Lust produces that inward deadening that is both unexpected and inevitable. Research confirms that porn rewires the brain by changing the neural pathways. Now, that's why it is so hard for people that are hooked on porn to be set free. You have to have a deliverance, and it has to be God. When you let that spirit come into you, you must seek God to be delivered from it. In the words of John Michael Cusick, porn becomes the path of least resistance in the brain. Now, this is your brain on porn. This, too, is the judgment of God. Now, listen. Number three, God has called us to purity. And in 1 Thessalonians number 7, it says, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Now, this isn't Sister Shannon saying this. This is God's word, my friends. And his word is a two-edged sword that will set you free. If you're bound up and you're in a prison this morning and you can't get out, no matter what the circumstances, I'm telling you, God is here to set you free. This message is for you. It is a delivering message that sets the captive free and puts them on track for God's glory. For Christianity is supremely the champion of purity. Our faith is utterly aligned to every form of uncleanness. Now, when Jesus comes and cleans the house, the Christian faith spreads across the Roman Empire because it offered moral purity that becomes a light in the prevailing darkness. And the same thing happens today whenever we dare to live by God's standards. And here's another part of number three. Rejecting purity means rejecting God. Therefore, in 1 Thessalonians verse 8, therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you the Holy Spirit. To reject means to treat with utter contempt.
It renders the commandments of God null and void. Brothers and sisters, I hope you're listening to me intently with your heart today. You can't have it both ways. Either you be pure or you stop calling yourself a Christian. Oh, yes, I said it. Stop being a hypocrite. You can't straddle the fence and get away with it. You can't serve two masters. You either serve one or the other. Now, God loves you, and he wants you to do right. He goes after the one of the 99. I am not trying to bring condemnation to you. I am trying to help you with the truth, and the truth will set you free. But, yes, I will let you know God loves you so much. That's why he's giving you this message this morning, because he wants you to be free. All of us need this message. I need this message. No one is exempt. Not the pastor, not the elders, not the staff members, nor people in the pews, not your friends, not your co-workers, not the swell. If you think you could not fall in this area, you are absolutely wrong. This is God's word for all of us. We can fall if we're not prayed up and we're not studied up in the word of God. We can fall. I'm praying that you this morning are in the word and you're praying up, you're prayed up, and you are studying the word of God, because I don't want you to fall, and God certainly doesn't want you to fall. But if you have fallen, God is there to pick you up when you ask for forgiveness and you ask him to wash you and cleanse your mind and heart. He will bring you around to a new man, a new creation. The old man will die, and that's what he's here to do this morning. For whoever out there that is hearing this and receiving this in their spirit, their mind, and their soul and body. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God always makes time for some good news. After all of this, you might rightfully ask, Reverend Sherry, is there any good news? The answer is absolutely yes. And we can find it in the text. In the Bible, God's holy word. Look at the last phrase of 1 Thessalonians 8. It mentions God who gives you the Holy Spirit. The word gives is present tense. And in this case, it means that God gives and keeps on giving the Spirit to you. And you have the Holy Spirit always with you. When God commands you to abstain, he also gives you the power to obey. Woo! That's powerful. Did you hear what I just said? When God commands you to abstain, he also gives you the power to obey. There is no power, but this is to sanctify you. There is no hope, but this is to cleanse you from sin. Now, you are not in this battle alone, my precious friends. Your weaknesses is his strength. And do you need help? You got it. Christ is your ever-present strength in the time of trouble. And in 1973, Augustus, a top lady, wrote a hymn called Rock of Ages. I want you to listen to the verses of this beautiful song that was written so many years ago for God's people, because it describes an important truth. Pay close attention to the last line. The song goes like this: Rock of Ages, trust in me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. No one, my friends, has to give in. No one has to yield to sin, and no one has to live in perpetual defeat. For the sin of double cure is to be saved from wrath and make me pure. God can do that this morning for you. He can wash you and cleanse you and make you pure and set you back on the track, back walking in your faith and walking in his will. That is what God is here to do, because he loves you so much. The power to change is not in you. The power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we try to change ourselves, we will fail because we are too weak. Now, our hope is in the Lord. He can and will change us when we ask for his help. I imagine that you have a big jar filled with, now just imagine this, that you have a big jar filled with dirt, grime, manure, and every sort of filth. How will you ever get rid of that muck and mire out of your life? Well, you can roll up your sleeves and plunge your hands deep into the foul, smelly, sticky mess. As you scoop it out, the slimy stuff gets all over your arms, all over your clothes, and no matter how hard you try, you can't get it out. You can't get all of it out. You can't get it all out by yourself. Now suppose that instead of using your hands, you grab a hose hooked up to a high-pressure stream of pure spring water. You take the hose and you plunge it into the muck and let the water do its work. Little by little, the clean water forces out the filth, because filth can stay where no filth can stay where clean water enters. Now, eventually, the water does what it could never do, what you never could do on your own. Now, the filth is gone out of the jar, and the jar is clean. The filth, my friends, is our sins, and the jar is you and I. This is the parable of the Christian life. All of us are like jars of muddy water. When we come to Christ, some are muddier than others, but all of us are unclean when we find the Lord. It is the work of a lifetime to replace the muddy water of our sinful inclinations with the pure water of God's holy character. This is the answer to our entrenched bitterness, lust, greed, hate, envy, impatience, dishonesty, and unfaithfulness, and the list goes on. We can ask God to change us, to purify us, and we can say, Lord, may your love come into me and drive out the anger. May your holiness enter and drive out my greed. And may your purity enter and drive out my lust. Father, may your mercy fill my soul and wash away my envy. And when your patience comes, Lord, into my body, my impatience will vanish. And when your grace fills within me, I can forgive. All of that thou art, Lord, Christ, with all your shining and cleansing. Father, your beauty comes this moment. When I ask, then will you fill me and cleanse me and complete my journey on this earth, and I will reside in your perfect will. When we ask God to forgive us of all the filth, all the sin in our life, he is just and faithful and right there on the scene with open arms to do so. He knows your heart. He knows if you mean it, and he wants to cleanse you. He wants you to come home. And he's speaking to someone this morning that needs to come home. He has something so beautiful waiting for you. He has a beautiful destiny for you to walk in, a beautiful life for you to live, out and apart from the muck and the sin and the ugliness of life. Remember who you are in Christ, or who you once were, because he will bring you back to that, and you'll be so much more. You are a child of God, a child of new creation when you accept him as your Savior. You are saved, redeemed, justified, forgiven, regenerated, and seated with the Christ in heavenly places. All the promises of God belongs to you when you say, yes, I accept you as Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. You are called to live for his glory. We are set apart to tell the real story. Yes, someone out there this morning is going to be set apart to tell the real story. You were made for better things. You were not made to live in sin. Let me now draw a very simple conclusion. How you can please God. What is
His will for your life. Thankfully, we don't have to wonder about the answer to those questions. God's word makes it clear. You are to abstain from sexual immorality. That is his will for your life. Do that and you will be found pleasing before him. Now, here's the one that I just want to shout it when I say these words. Rise and walk, Christian. Did you hear what I just said? Rise and walk. You are in a mighty army, a strong army, and you have the whole armor of God on, and you are defended, and the enemy is defeated in the name of Jesus. So I say again, rise and walk, Christian. I'm nearly aware that some people hearing my words feel totally defeated this morning. Perhaps you have already blown it so badly that you feel there is no hope for you. Perhaps you have not been faithful to your husband or your wife, or you've been wandering around, what's the use? That's what you're thinking this morning. Maybe you were promiscuous in your younger days or possibly before you came to Christ. Perhaps you have burning memories of recent moral failure. The truth is that we have all failed and all come short of the glory of God, and we have all sinned. No one has a perfect record in this life, in this area. Do you feel defeated? Do you think there is no hope for you? Are you trapped by your past? God has a way of escape just for you today. The pit is closer than you realize. Earlier in this sermon, I spoke about the pit of moral filth that surrounds us all. We're all closer to that pit than we realize. But we don't have to dip our toes in, or our hands, or our feet, or our head. We don't have to go to the edge. We can say no. We can reject Satan. And we can say, God, help me. Help my unbelief. Have mercy on me. And the Father is there with open arms. I'm telling you, he's there. Just believe it. Perhaps you stuck a toe in, or you couldn't get it out, or maybe you stuck your hands in, and now your hands are stained, and you can't get them clean. Worse yet, perhaps you were standing by the pit, and someone grabbed you and pulled you in, and every time that you climb out, they seem to pull you back in. Well, Jesus says to you this morning, rise and walk, child. Rise and walk. Our Lord proclaims to every broken sinner, go and sin no more. You can't do a thing to change the past, and it's a waste of your time to try. However, my precious friends, you are his beloved. You can do something about that future. By God's grace, you can be clean and pure from this day forward. You don't have to live in guilt or fear or shame any longer. Rise and walk, child of God. Oh, my child of God, he said to you, my beloved, rise, rise and walk. Be free from the sin and the muck of life. Get up and out of that muck and mire and of shameful defeat. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. He's speaking to someone so strongly this morning, so strongly that I feel the presence of God right here where I am at in my own spirit. Years ago, I ran across this statement. The key to a better future is to stop trying to have a better past. Don't live in your past anymore. You can't go anywhere if you do that. That's exactly right, my friends. Some of us need to face our past and say the truth. It is what it is. Remember the first law of the Spirit, the progress of it. I can't go back. I can't stay here. And I must go forward. Can someone out there say that with me? I can't go back. I can't stay here. But I must go forward. So I must rise and walk. You can't go back, and you can't change the past, and you can't stay where you are because life is a river that flows ever onward. But God's grace, you can decide to serve Jesus Christ from this day forward. We can swim upstream against the world's current in God's power and His authority. We're not alone. Don't ever let the devil lie to you. You are not alone. God has not forsaken you. I believe God wants to raise up a generation of Christians who will walk in purity. Nothing will prove more convincing to this watching world than believers in Jesus who manage to be pure in the very, in this very dirty world that we live in. Thank God we have a loving God, a merciful God, that keeps coming back and giving us the test day after day, wanting, desiring for us to pass that test. Today is your day. Rise up as your child of God. He wants to create an island of hope in a sea of despair, and He has called us to be an island of light in a sea of darkness. Now, when we walk in purity, the world will notice because people are looking for hope. When we dare to obey God, broken people will come crawling out of the darkness to join us in the light of the gospel of Christ. And if we do our part, God will surely do the rest. Lord Jesus, help us to be a pure generation so that broken people will know that you can still change lives today. He is still in the business of changing lives today. So rise up, child, and walk, 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 and do it today. Oh, thank you, God. You, Lord, are the way maker. You always make a way of escape. I know that for someone that's tuned in today, God's arms are open just for you. Come dip in His cleansing water and allow Him to purify you and set you apart for His glory. If that's you today, God always makes a way, my friend. Come home, O sinner, while there's still time. Come home. Come home, O sinner, while there's still time. Come home. I'm so glad that you've tuned in today. God is such a good God, a loving God, and a merciful God. He loves you right where you're at. And He waits with open arms for you to say the magic words. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins, wash me and cleanse me. When you do that, your life will change for eternity. And one day when your journey is ended on this earth, you will see Him and He will say to you, welcome in, child of God. And I don't have to say to the one who never accepts Jesus, who rejects Him, you know that story. And it's an ugly story. It's a very ugly story. And I hate to say it, but He'll say to them, you did it your way. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You don't want that to be to you today. God has provided a way out. He has provided eternity for you. He has provided salvation for you. He paid the price over 2,000 years ago on the cross at Calvary just for you with His blood. He shed, and for every person's sins. Thank you so much for listening to the program. I hope you'll join us next week. And make sure that you share this message with as many people as you can. Christ wants to give you the opportunity to be saved today. So I'm giving you an open extension of His invitation to accept Him as Lord and Savior. If you're not saved, or if you have been away from Him a while and you want to get your life right, or if you're a backslider, God's right here for you today. Please pray this prayer with me. Repeat after me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning. I am a sinner lost without a Savior. I am a backslider wanting to make my life right. I am a carnal Christian and I'm tired of playing church. I am here. Wash me and cleanse me. I repent of all my sins, Father. Make me a new creation. Let me walk in your will. Thank you for taking the time, Lord,
to reach out to me and love me and save me and wash me and cleanse me. I know that I am a new creation now. I am a believer, and I am grateful that you are my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' precious holy name. And if you pray that prayer with me this morning, you are saved. You are made right in the eyes of God. He has forgiven you, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Welcome to the family of God, and the angels, they are having the biggest party on your behalf because you have made the decision to come home. They're killing the fatted calf. They're bringing the robe to put on you, the ring on your finger, and the sandals on your feet because God loves you so much. He loves you so, so very much. Make sure that you leave a comment in the comment box today. If you got saved, please let us know. We want to know that you have decided to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. Or if he's done something good for you and you have a great testimony or a miraculous miracle, we want to know about that. Please let us know. Leave it in the comment box. If you need prayer, we certainly want to pray for you and uplift you. So I want you to know and always remember that God loves you so much. He is for you, my friends, and he is never against you. And his favor surrounds you today. Victory is yours. Rise up and walk, my child. Rise up and walk. God bless you until we meet again.